And this is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're going to do the news of the week. Now, we just had the great Gene Chatsky, finance editor of the Today Show, on for the interview of the week. She and I, of course, have now done two interviews together on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, 824 and 825. She's the finance editor of the Today Show and helped write and did write and was the lead author on Age Proof, Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip. And it is the great Gene Chatsky, C-H-A-T-Z-K-Y. Sonar, of course, does great engineering, so I want to attribute that to him. But let's go right into the news of the week. Number one story, Wellness 4.5, 5 habits worth cultivating in 2017. We're going to only go to 3 of them because I think you get too many, you won't be able to do them. So 1, cook more. Creating and serving the simplest of meals is a great way of caring for yourself and your loved ones. Homemade meals tend to be more healthful than the ones you purchase, because when you cook from scratch, you know exactly what you're eating. So don't just open cans. I do that sometimes. Don't do that. You want to cook from scratch. It makes it even better. So that's one of the great things to do. One habit. 2, eat more plants. That's right. The more plants you do, the more healthy the habit your eating will be. And hopefully you will avoid those 5 snake oil foods, saturated fat, simple sugars, added syrups, simple carbohydrates, and trans fats. 2018, we go down to 4 of those because trans fats will be banned in America. But those are the 5 you want to avoid. So the habits we want you to do, cook more, reduce added sugars, eat more plants. Reduce added sugars is one of the snake oil foods, and you get that automatically by eating more plants. And, of course, I've got another one, which is use healthy fats when you cook. Now, putting sugared soda out of reach. UC San Francisco just did this for their whole campus, just as the Cleveland Clinic did 8 years ago. We had some complaints initially. When we stopped hiring smokers, I got 3 death threats. They were serious. We let the FBI know. They considered them serious. They were handwritten, different mailboxes, no return address, handwritten to us. And my office was moved to a place where it's harder to hit me with a rifle shot. And the glasses are, the glass on the wall is double pane or triple pane and special glass. So apparently my image from outside is seen in a different place than I am. Anyway, whatever it is, those were serious. When we banned sugar drinks, I got 75 death threats, but those were all emailed in. Not very serious, obviously, if they're emailed in, because we know who sent them, as opposed to letters with no return address from different post offices in Cleveland. So people accepted that. Well, UCSF did it recently this year, and even did it, which is better than we did it, more than we did it, with all their purveyors of food. So they asked Subway to stop selling sugar drinks. They asked the other Coca-Cola suppliers to stop selling it. We took it out, obviously, of our vending machines, etc. But they asked all their purveyors, and guess what? They did it, and there were few complaints, but not many. And they were able to tell the people, they published, they trained the staff, they trained the wait staff in why they couldn't order a sugar drink, and it worked. We, of course, it doesn't matter if people come into the Cleveland Clinic bringing a sugar drink, but we want them to have to work hard to make themselves sick and not, we don't want to help them get themselves sick. That goes with the other study in that came out about, I guess it's 3 or 4 months ago now, from the International Life Sciences Institute that's based in Washington, D.C. that talked about how the data on sugar wasn't very solid. Well, guess who pays for that? That's right. The sugar beverage industry is a supporter of that group called the International Life Sciences Group. It was published in a really very good American journal, the Annals of Internal Medicine. They knew who sponsored it when they accepted publication. And obviously, there's been a backlash from physicians about it, thinking this was a horrible thing. But we do encourage free speech. And what is interesting in the 1960s is how cheaply the physicians at Harvard would let their name be polluted and do an industry-sponsored thing that was, in fact, sponsored by the sugar industry, casting aspersions at fat and taking it away from sugar. This is one from the Sugar Institute, again, casting aspersions at the data and saying, "Where it's not clear that sugar is a bad thing." It is clear. Don't have added sugar, added syrups, or simple carbohydrates in your food, and you have a much lower chance of developing obesity and type 2 diabetes. New study this week also, how your gut circadian rhythm affects your whole body. That's right, our gut, the bacteria in our gut, and I didn't know this till I saw this study this week, but this is really strange. The bacteria inside you change over the day. So collecting the bacteria from stool in the morning and analyzing it is different than stool in the evening. They adapt to your food and they have a pattern. It's not clear whether they govern which food you have by telling you what you're hungry for or you tell them, but that's something that is evaluated. So there is a lot of data coming out that will help us understand how the bacteria inside us and on us change our behaviors. That's right. Those bacteria produce small proteins as their poop or waste products. We absorb those waste products, and those change our behaviors. For example, if you have red meat or egg yolks or cheese, Stan Hazen has shown and now replicated in 5 large studies in different countries, or 3 of the studies are in the United States, but some in Europe, that show that the red meat or the egg yolks or the cheese, the proteins in them, change the bacteria inside your gut, which then produces trimethylamine as its waste product. Your liver turns that trimethylamine and trimethylamine oxide, which causes inflammation and even makes your joints hurt more, in addition to giving you a much higher incidence of heart attack and stroke. So apparently your bacteria that are in you are not innocent. They affect you. They can even turn your attitude to be positive versus your attitude to be a depressed attitude. Very interesting. Another study, the children of obese parents develop cognitive dysfunction. That's right. So if your mom is obese when you're born, you tend to have a brain dysfunction over the first 6 years of your life, at least. We don't know past that, where you have a little more attention deficit syndrome, a little less easy learning. Kind of strange, isn't it? Just because your mom was a little obese. But that's what happens. But now, new study, this is a large study that shows that if the dad was obese, he would influence you to have that same process. That is, a little less quick learning, a little less IQ, a little more attention deficit and behavior problems. This was done in the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, which sponsored the study, and it was done at it's called the Upstate Kids Study, which followed over 6,000 children born in New York State and their parents and the weight of their parents. Is your popcorn healthy last study we're going to talk about today, airborne popcorn with no oil, just with airborne, really healthy. A 3-cup serving of AirPop popcorn has about 93 calories, 1 gram of fat, 4 grams of fiber. It's really good. But if you have a medium bucket of popcorn, that's movie time popcorn, it has 20 cups, more than 1,200 calories. That's 14 times as much as that airborne popcorn. It has 980 milligrams of sodium and 3 days worth, 60 grams of saturated fat. So you want to have airborne, air pop popcorn, which you pop yourself. It's like cooking everything. That's that habit we want. We want you to do this at home. By the way, Skinny Pops, original popcorn, 0 grams of sugar, close to 4 cups per serving. The sodium levels can range to from 75 milligrams for Skinny Pops original to 310 milligrams for Wise's white cheddar version. Base thing, pop your own like cooking yourself. That's it for podcast 824 and 825. We had Gene Chatsky as our guest, and this has been podcast 825, the news of the week, with Gene Chatsky as our guest, part two of Age Proof, Living Longer without running out of money or breaking a hip. And this is Dr. Mike Roizen saying thanks for listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast, iHeart or Radio MD. Every week we have a new one and cover the latest news of the week that has action steps so you can take control of your own health. By the way, what was podcast 823? James Hamblin, physician, who's the senior editor at Olympic and author of If Our Bodies Could Talk, 822, and was Skinny Liver with Kristen Kirkpatrick, How to Get Your Liver Rid of Its Fat So Your Liver Helps You Live Longer. 819 and 821, Michael Bruce, author of The Power of When, 818, Lymphedema and Lymphoma Nutrition Guide. And I won't go past one more, but I wanted to mention 814 and 816. We had Charlie Hennekins, the first Sir Richard Dow Professor, Senior Academic Advisor to the Dean at Florida Atlantic University, with a great, great talk on a toothpaste that may save your life. That's right. One of these toothpastes reduces plaque and reduces inflammation in your whole body. That was 814 and 816. We'll be back next week with 826, and we hope you join us. Thanks, Ona, for great engineering. And remember, you have control to take control of your genes if you want to. And this is the program that'll teach you how to do it week after week and give you the latest data that is scientifically based on how to do it. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.